Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Mobile Kintec studio at Rogers Arena. Post-trade deadline here at Rogers Arena. Canucks getting ready for the Minnesota Wild here tonight. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. A quiet deadline for the Vancouver Canucks. Trade deadline coverage on Sports at 650 brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway for diehard pizza people. Order online at AJ's.pizza. Yannick Hansen going to join us here in a few moments. And the debrief quickly on the trade deadline where the Canucks moved Carson Soucy yesterday for a third-round pick from the New York Rangers. Which belonged to the San Jose Sharks, actually, coming up in this year's draft. But today, they were unable to get any deals done. While a flurry of deals happened elsewhere, Canucks stood pat. And we'll talk to Patrick Alvin about it in a little bit. But, Sat, your takeaway on the Canucks' quiet deadline.
Disappointing, right? Like, the Canucks weren't able to accrue some assets here, right? And the other part was they weren't able to find that long-term fit they were looking for. Now, they can always look to do that, but two guys they were after, Dylan Cousins and Josh Norris, perhaps more so Norris, were guys they weren't able to land. Now, both the guys are off the market, and I'm sure there will be other players who become available in the offseason, but it creates a couple questions here. One, are the Canucks willing to part with the types of prospects and players they need to acquire those players, and do they even have the pieces to get those players? And we can get to the Besser thing and whether they had value or not. But to me, the big takeaway is the degree of difficulty for the Canucks to convince Quinn Hughes to stay here long term has only risen.
Yeah.
And the timeline's getting shorter. Mm-hmm. And there's a big task ahead for this management team here to be able to build the type of team with apparently the type of assets that aren't good enough or maybe they're not willing to part with to acquire those players. So how are you going to improve this hockey team long term?
It's tough because, yes, you have money to spend in free agency this summer, but who are going to be the players that are worthy of, you know, that big acquisition in free agency? Do they exist? Right now, Mitch Marner is slated to be the number one forward. I guess Sam Bennett would probably be number two on that list should he make it to free agency. But Mikko Rantanen has now signed a deal with the Dallas Stars. And you're no closer. Like, the thing is, today, you're no closer to getting towards being a contender, right? Like, you did nothing and you were unable to accomplish anything to get yourself closer to being a contender. That's for this year, and that's for the future, because you didn't add any extra assets to potentially go out and have that as ammo in trade when you get to the next trade discussion period, which is the NHL entry draft and closer to free agency, and be able to play in those markets. And that's where the disappointing part comes in, Sat, is you've gotten no closer towards being the contender you wish to build.
Yeah, and you're right. They weren't able to get extra assets. Now, you always weigh that against other things, whether keeping Besser, which could happen, and we'll talk to Alvin, and whether they're willing to let him walk as a free agent if it does come to that. But it's a spot where I mentioned this yesterday too, right? Like, there's a real chance that the only trade we see is the Carson Soucy trade, because what the Canucks are trying to pull off is very difficult. There's a high degree of difficulty for it, but it just kind of reinforces that point.
Yeah.
And now it just takes your timeline away. And it's not to say that you can't do it, but it just shrinks the amount of time you have to build the team you're trying to build here, right? And that, to me, is the biggest missed opportunity in all this, that you weren't able to get closer at this deadline.
Let's bring in our next guest. It's Yannick Hansen. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Thanks for this, Yannick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. Maybe bored is the wrong word, but we were expecting the Canucks to give us a few things to talk about today, and we don't have that.
Yeah, I know there's lots of action, but obviously not the Canucks. No. It's one of those things. There's always this build up, and most often than not, you end up being a little bit disappointing with what your team does.
Well, and I think the thing that stood out was Patrick Alvin saying that if he would have told us what Brock, the offers they got for Brock, he would have been chased out of the building. That's how bad the offers were. If you're a player and you hear that, what do you make of the way he answered that question? Should a player be offended, or is it just a GM being honest?
Yeah, that's not nice to be told that or hear that about yourself, especially when you saw what was being tossed around for other players. Again, you got to assume that if anybody offered them a first rounder, they would have probably made the trade. So what does it come down to now? Does it mean they don't value me as much? Do I need to worry about July 1st now if I go that route? But yeah, I know you want to be wanted, and obviously it wasn't to the same extent as a lot of the other guys that moved around today.
I do think that Patrick Alvin isn't bold-faced lying to us completely, but it is hard to believe some other players went for the prices they went for, and you couldn't get a decent pick when moving Brock Besser. But I think this is the problem with where the organization is, still fighting for a potential playoff spot. You can't be half pregnant, right? You got to either choose a lane. Are you staying and pushing for the playoffs this year, or are you becoming a seller? And I think the Canucks kind of got caught in the middle a little bit in that front too.
Yeah, and it's also a lot of times you value your own assets a lot higher than maybe other teams do. And if there aren't a bidding war for Brock's services, and it's one team that are like, yeah, we could use a top six winger, and this is what we're willing to pay. Again, you look at Brad Marchand. I know he's injured and he's not going to be back for a while, but that's a second-round pick for him as well, which is a little bit underwhelming when you think about what he's done and what he potentially can do. When you look at Brock, and it's one of those things, he's only 28. You'd like to think that there could be more to be had there. But again, we watch Brock play, and he's not a driver, so it's going to be one of those situations where a team is saying, you know what, we have the perfect setup. We bring this guy in, and he'll score at a 40-point rate or a 40-goal rate. Well, then it's a great idea. But if you're expecting Brock to come in and be a difference maker and drive a line on his own, we've seen that all year now here, that's not his forte. So again, maybe the value of what was offered weren't as good. And then there's, okay, well, we'll keep him, see if we can sign him. He's still a good piece to have around. And if you are trying to make the playoff, which obviously they are, Brock will help them more so than whatever draft pick we're coming back.
Well, and I think when you find yourself in this spot now and Besser's not signed, do you see him being the type of player you should commit to, or do you think they should use the cap space this offseason to go after somebody else in free agency?
DeBrusk is a Brock Besser 2.0, if you will, in terms of production, what he provides, where he plays, and all those things. And he was at a lot more palatable salary at 5.5 versus 8 is the rumor that's out there right now. That being said, one is not enough, and I don't think you can go out and find a Brock Besser and one more in UFA, because they don't just hang around. So again, he's got the hammer now. You left it in his court. If he wants to test UFA, he can do that now. The trade deadline has passed, which is where you still held some sway. So again, you can hope that he will sign at whatever they're willing and comfortable with, because you'd still like Brock to be a part of this solution if it comes in at the right numbers, right age. It's proven he can score. If you have players that he can play with, he can play with the high-end skills. So it's not like he's a bad player that you're trying to get rid of in any way. It just comes down to nickels and dimes, if you will.
The thing with, Brock's been so cold, really, since, the calendar turned. And since Miller got traded, there hasn't really been a fit for him on the roster. He kind of looks like a square peg in a round hole on a lot of different lines. And I don't know how the Canucks address that issue. And I wonder if we do see a better version of Brock coming out of the deadline, because, he's not worried about getting traded, or some of this noise kind of goes out the window. But I haven't seen the fit for him on the roster since Miller got traded, Yannick.
No, because Miller's the player that would get the most out of a player like Brock. You need somebody who can drive a line, somebody who will get him the puck, somebody will put him in a position to score goals, because Brock can shoot. Let's not kid anybody about that. You give it to him in the middle of the slot with a little bit of time, and he will pick a corner. But somebody's got to get it to him. Somebody's got to move the puck from his end up to the neutral zone, into the offensive zone, take charge, draws guys to them, and then get him to Brock. And he doesn't have that now. Miller is obviously traded. Petey doesn't pull that right now either. So unless you go out and you trade, sign, bargain, whatever you need to do to bring this player in to play with Brock, this is the version of him you're going to get. Can he still score at a 20-goal clip per season? Yes, he can. But he has potential for more. He just needs somebody to do it for him, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think for as far as, you know, what we see now from the Canucks from this point on, the other guy was Pugh Suter. And considering the year he's had, you'd imagine that the contract he's looking at would be substantially higher than it was. But again, if he's a player that the trade value wasn't that high on, could they maybe get him signed to a team-friendly deal? And would you want to see Pugh Suter signed to a team-friendly deal?
I'd love to see him coming back. He does all the things you like. He kills penalties, takes face-offs. He can play in a lot of different situations. He can score. Again, same deal. Comes down to term and numbers. Is he trying to cash in? Then, yeah, sure, maybe try to cash in somewhere else. But again, you can't. You have to keep some of these guys around. And yeah, they've been fortunate enough to pick up some of these guys on in free agency as well. Kiefer is another guy they picked out of free agency that worked really well. So they can be found. So again, yeah, we like him here. He's been here for a while. Your familiarities with him and all those things. But if they start asking for the moon, middle six forwards are a dime a dozen. So you can find others of these players.
So the focus, they didn't add anybody. They lose Carson Soucy yesterday in a trade. But you're still in the midst of a playoff push. Quinn Hughes is hurt. Do you think this team has it in them for a push here down the stretch?
Yeah, because it's Calgary you're competing with. If they were competing with, that's going to sound wrong, but if they were competing with a legitimate team or teams, I'd say they're in a herd of trouble. But because it is Calgary, I still look at those two rosters, and Vancouver's roster still looks better to me. So yeah, you have an opportunity here. But squeak in, play Winnipeg or whoever is in the first round there, that's a tough ask. So it's like, yeah, you might squeak in the playoffs, but then you need to get lucky beyond in order to move just past the first round. And that's what we've been talking about all year. Like, it is, playoff is not, like, first round exit is not a success criteria for this team anymore. They were supposed to take a step forward, and a step forward would be a conference final, not two steps back and get blown out in the first round, or we don't know what will happen. But again, their teams don't look, or Vancouver don't look exactly a threatening team compared to Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Vegas, even Edmonton, that didn't do a whole lot either. Like, any one of those, and you're like, yeah, okay, we need everything to go right for us in order to pull out a win.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the Canucks find themselves in a spot where they're clearly not a contender this season. But as far as value in this, because clearly they want to make the playoffs, they find value in it. Even if you lose in the first round and get to the second round and lose, is there value for the players, whether it's Pettersson, Hughes, and these guys, to go through that experience? Because that's all we have to talk about at this stage. They held on to their guys, right? Like, if they're not going to win a Stanley Cup, is it worth it for the players to get even that experience playing one or two rounds?
Yes, because I need to see if Petey is the guy you can win with.
Yeah.
I need to see him showing up in the play. I need to see him be a guy that almost tilted the series, that looked untiltable our way. And then if we lose, fair enough. He's got 7 years left, and I believe in him because he showed me now. Yeah, it was only 4, 5, 6 games, however long it goes for, but at least he showed me that he can be an elite center, and now we have something to build towards, where if this season plays out like it has now, we go into the playoff and it's more of the same. It was like, we don't have a number one or number two center then next year. Like the team is so bare. Yeah, you have Quinn Hughes, But when we started last or this season, we had Demko, who was a potential Vezina. We had a Norris Trophy defense. We had two phenomenal number one and two centers. You had all the pieces you just needed to build around them. We could potentially go into next year with three of those four gone. So that's a scary thought. And then we're really talking about a rebuild. And that comes right back to today. If that's the case, well, moves should have been made, because now we need assets, you need draft picks, you need youth, you need all these things in order to turn the tides. So again, a lot will be shown over the next couple of months here. And yet there is still value, because we still need to see where Petey is, what he's going to bring. Is he a player that we can win with 3, 4, 5 years from now? And if not, then they have an enormous decision to make before his no move kicks in.
Yeah, and you know, he played well the other night. He won over 20 faceoffs, had a solid game. But I, you know, if you think about it realistically, in a year where Pettersson was playing at his normal level, or the level we had become used to seeing, you would have been like, yeah, fine game. You wouldn't have talked about it much. You would have pointed out, like, Blueger scored, Soucy scored, you got some depth scoring, and you won a hockey game. You know, that would have been the story of the game. But because of Pettersson's situation, because he spoke to the media earlier this week and took accountability, and Rick Tocchet said he's had as good a couple of days as he's had all year in practice, and his engagement level and all those kinds of things, Petey is the story. And at the end of the day, like, the more I've thought about it, it's like, okay, it's nice that his engagement level, and he's getting praise from the coach that he's really putting in the work this week, but where was that the rest of the year?
Yeah, and that's not enough anymore. You need production. That's not true. If they win, it's enough. But as soon as they lose a game and you don't produce, now it's not enough. So, yeah, I noticed him too, and he was engaged. He was throwing his body. He was checking. He was fighting for pucks and all those things you love to see. And that's all fine and well if you keep winning, but you need producing. You need production from him. There's no question. He needs to be the Quinn Hughes of the forwards, if you will. He needs to be that dominant for this team to be considered a threat now. Miller being gone, there's no 1-2 punch anymore. He needs to become that player for us to stop having this conversation that we're having right now and that we've had for almost a year now.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately, you know, something that we're always going to keep talking about until he really strings it all together, and we'll see ultimately how that goes here. As far as, you know, what we've seen from a guy like Jonathan Lekkomäki, I know we spoke to you earlier this year about him, and you mentioned that you wanted to see him get a little bit stronger, get a little bit faster. What did you think of the way he looked, and do you see value in him, you know, really getting a run here the rest of the season, considering where the Canucks find themselves?
I do, because he's one of those players who has a skill that's very hard to teach. He can score goals. So, yeah, you still want to see the growth, understanding the game, thinking it at a quicker pace. He doesn't strike me as the fastest skater, so he's kind of like Brock and DeBrusque in the sense that he needs to find himself in the right position a little bit quicker, the anticipation, and then he can score if somebody gets him the puck. So, yeah, I would love to see him get a long run here and see if he's a guy you could potentially see slipping into that top six and filling a void from within, because that is really what you're striving for. You want to see your young guys mature and develop down in Abbotsford and then coming up and playing significant roles. Pettersson on the back end looks like he took Susie's job and he made him the spendable all of a sudden, and that's great. And now you have some youth that comes in, some excitement. It frees up a little bit of cap space, which means now you can add around these players. So I'd love to see him get a look here, and a good look, and with quality players. Again, quality players, the key thing here is you'd like to be able to put him in a position where he'd be a little more isolated, where right now he's not. It's almost like he's, hey, you got to score tonight because we're having a hard time winning games. And that's tough on young players because it can weigh on goal scorers when they don't produce.
Probably the biggest move of the day is Rantanen going to Dallas. Do you see them as the big winner here on deadline day, Yannick?
Yeah, you have to. Again, they move out a young player. that is obviously on the up and coming in Stankoven. But those two draft picks, like, who cares about draft picks if they go on a run and they win the Stanley Cup? Like, how many first round draft picks would you two be willing to trade for Stanley Cup in Vancouver? Like, yeah, I'd say you could almost
all of
next
them.
Generation.
Yeah.
Like that's where it is. Again, you're taking a chance. But Dallas is in that situation where it looks like it was an arms race in the Central. Every time one team did something, the other team overdid it, kind of thing. So it's going to make for a hell of a playoff on that side for sure. So it's one of those things where it's nice for the fans, for the viewers, that there are these movements. And that's why we, in the beginning, said, there was lots of stuff going on, just not from Vancouver's standpoint. And that's definitely one of the ones that are exciting. Get him back in the West where we can see him play. Obviously, you don't like Vancouver playing against him that often, but it makes for more entertaining hockey that when you do watch those teams.
Should be a fun playoff. Hopefully, the Canucks are a part of it, even if it's not for that that long. Yannick, we appreciate the time as always and the insights. Thanks for this.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
There he is, the great Yannick Hansen offering up his perspective, and I know our Dunbar Lumber text message inbox is enjoying that. Trade deadline coverage on Sports at 650 brought to you by AJ's Pizza on East Broadway. For diehard pizza people, order online at AJ's.pizza. And Sat just got a special delivery.
AJ's. Well, it's not just all for me. You guys can have some too. But
he was unable to partake in the AJ's pizza earlier today, but now Bic has made a special delivery to Rogers Arena.
A big box of pizza and a big smile on my face.
So we've got a lot to get into. Patrick Alvin is going to join us, and the trades are all done and dusted, but the trade desk has been brought to you by Tiletown, and there has been one trade of significance that has come in the last few minutes.
What's that?
Geno Smith to the Las Vegas Raiders for a third-round pick.
Yes.
We are the home of the Seahawks. I mean, it's a big mention.
It's true. Silver and Black.
Seahawks are now number one contender for Sam Darnold, I think.
Yeah, Silver and Black Canuck texted, and he's like, now he's going to be a Seahawks fan. They have their head coach. They have their quarterback now. Who had more trade value, Geno Smith or Brock Besser or less?
At least
Geno was traded.
Geno was traded.
They took a third for Geno, and I know NFL draft picks are different. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Need somebody to start texting and being like, oh, it's different in the NFL. Third-round pick's valuable.
Geno was about to get paid and all that. Tough day for Seahawk land with Geno Smith out the door, and think it over everything that's going on with that franchise in the future. Dom from Coquitlam, can we talk about how the Canucks trade deadline signals that Forbert is now a core member of this team?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned yesterday, Derek Forbert
could get an extension.
Yeah, it's more likely he's going to get extended for a year than get traded today. So that one I'm not surprised by. And, we mentioned yesterday they had a price for Suter. Clearly nobody met the price.
Yeah.
The Besser one is the one that surprised everybody.
Well, the Suter, because I could see how people would look at a, centerman who can be versatile, play through your lineup, is pretty consistent goal scoring wise, plays good defense. I can see how he could be a trade deadline piece a lot of teams look at and like. Whereas Besser, I think the fit has to be a little bit more specific. And maybe New Jersey's a bigger player for Brock Besser if Jack Hughes doesn't get hurt earlier this week. That's a possibility. I don't know, but I look through the teams. I don't see the one that's barreling down the door to get Brock Besser into their organization right now.
We'll talk to Alvin. Canuck sources maintain that they legitimately didn't get great offers, and that's why these guys weren't traded. I think the truth is going to be in, do we hear reporting over the next little while about the offers potentially and what they were, not from the Canucks potentially, and that would give you, some more clarity on the situation, because now it's like a lot of fans don't believe the general manager, right? And so I think it's impossible for us to know until we dig a bit deeper into this. We're only hours after the deadline, but that's going to be the big question. Were you actually offered something great or not? And by revealing what Alvin revealed, is that the best way to go about it?
Yeah. That's another part of this conversation. We've got a mailbag coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get you ready for the Canucks and Minnesota Wild tonight as well. Two injured hockey teams, depleted players, depleted stars not playing in either team's lineup tonight, as Quinn Hughes not expected to play. And, of course, the Wild have had just an awful time with injuries this season. With teams trying to figure out their lineups and how they'll look after today, they're probably wishing they had something like Tile Town's Room Visualizer. If you're looking to trade in your old look for a new look, drop by any of Tile Town's three locations and talk to their in-house design consultants. They'll show you how you can see the finished product before you buy. With a wide variety of in-stock tiles, check out the latest styles today at Tile Town. Locally owned, operated, and proudly Canadian since 1971. Visit mytiletown.ca. Canucks General Manager Patrick Alvin joins us next on Canuck Central.